I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and with the new Tyranid Codex out, let's go ahead and build some Tyranid theme projects in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And we got two different terrain building projects for you. Well, I guess one's terrain, one's technically a unit slash terrain sort of kind of thing. The first thing we got over here on my right is going to be the Tyranid Spire. Now, of course, if you ever looked in some of the pictures of the Tyranids they have in the books, specifically the ones where they kind of model some of the actual miniatures and things like that, it's often gigantic spires bursting out of the ground as the organisms pretty much take over the planet. And that's what this is. It is a giant Tyranid spire that smashes its way out of the ground and growing up really tall. It probably clocks in at a good, almost a foot tall, probably. Maybe 10 inches or so. Now, one note about this project, what I'm doing here is kind of expanding on something I did last season, which I think it was Season 3, Episode 16, where I built the Tyranid Hive Cluster. So some of the initial steps of this project are pretty much the same as initial steps of the Tyranid Hive Cluster. Now, so if you don't want to go ahead and watch those few things again, head over to the show notes at tabletopbattlefield.com and look for this episode, Season 4, Episode 3. And in there, I'll list, you know, at what time the new stuff starts. So you can go ahead and skip ahead 10, 15 minutes or whatnot. And just go ahead and, you know, see where the new things pick up so you don't have to watch the same stuff over and over again. And now the second project here would be the Mycetic Spore, which, of course, is the drop pod equivalent for the Tyranids. It comes smashing down, bust open, lots of little guys run out and charge in the battle close to the enemy. This is actually a unit, but they're in from the new Tyranid Codex, but, of course, as of now, Games Workshop has not released a figure for it. This particular design is based on an idea that the local employees of the GW store had, so something I went ahead and built, kind of fleshed out, did my own little modifications to it. So it looks like a giant pod smashed into the ground in a crater. There's dirt and rocks kicked up, slime and oozes coming out of the side. It's busted open. And then you've got little alien flowers kind of growing around. It looks like the organisms are already kind of taking root from this single spore that hit the ground. So with that, I'll stop talking for right now. I got plenty more of that coming up. Let's dive right into the tutorials by showing you how to build the Tyranid Spire first. Alright everyone, here's the deal. After reviewing the video of the Tyranid Spire build, I kind of noticed there were some, technical issues. Yeah, that sounds good. Technical issues with the whole build process and the filming and some of the stuff around that. So, as a result, we won't be seeing that project tonight or ever for that matter. But we do have the Mycetic Spore build coming up right now. Next project up is the Mycetic Spore. Now, if you're not familiar with the Tyranids or what the Mycetic Spore is, essentially it's a drop pod for the Tyranids. It comes smashing down from orbit, burrows itself in the ground, and the troops climb out and attack. So instead of having your troops line up on, say, one of your table edges, this allows you to kind of crash right down relatively close to the enemy and have your troops climb out and start attacking really fast, which is very helpful for the Tyranids since they're a relatively melee-heavy army. Now, second note about it is Games Workshop has not actually officially announced a figure for the Mycetic Spore at this time. It's possible they will release one as the Marine Drop Pods figures do exist for that. So the problem we run into there is we don't really know the exact size of it. We kind of take guesses, but really don't know exactly how big it's going to be because it does block line of sight and things like that. So it is kind of important to get an idea of just how big it needs to be. If you watched my last episode, you saw I had a few mock-ups where I was kind of playing around getting the kind of basic size of it down. And at least in my head, what I picked is, if you can kind of fold up a Carnifax and stick it in the Mycetic Spore, that's probably about the right size you're looking at. Because the largest creature that can use the Mycetic Spore is the Carnifax. Now, the other note about this particular design, as you saw last time, I had a little basketball and some other stuff going on here. But this particular design is actually a variation of what one of the local managers of the GW store has built, or what he's kind of describing how he would build it. So it's not totally something I came up with. It's kind of a variation of an existing project. So let's run through the things you're going to need. First of all, this is actually a pretty good timing for building a Mycetic Spore. With Easter not too far away, you actually find giant plastic eggs pretty easily. And a large egg like you got here is probably a pretty good size for the actual body of the spore. It's maybe just a little bit bigger than an actual Carnifax kind of folded up. So that works pretty good. Other things you're going to need We got Easter grass, another Easter decoration. You know, I may be using some of this. Not sure. I just kind of picked it up because it's really cheap. We've got some weird flowers here. These are fake plastic flowers. This particular one says Garden Collection Ashland Flowers. You can get these from, you know, kind of local hobby craft stores. And I picked these ones. They kind of look like little alien spores. So the idea is, after this, in the area around this thing lands, you have these things kind of coming up, looking like the Mycetic spores already converting the area around it to be habitable for the Tyranids. Pipe cleaners, just because they're cool. Of course, we're going to have some more 1-inch thick extruded polystyrene, the pink insulation foam. And that's going to be used for building the crater that this thing smashes into. As for tools, we've got a ruler. We've got white glue of some sort, Sharpie, hot glue gun, and also we're going to have some plaster coming in a little bit later, and some tools to mold and sculpt the extruded polystyrene, whether that be a hot wire foam cutter, a series of, you know, sanding, some sanding tools, sanding paper, maybe some saws, whatever you want to do. The first thing we're actually going to do is let's crank or rip open this giant egg. Now, ideally, obviously, most of these eggs split in two because they're designed to put stuff in them for kids and things. And what I actually want to do is make it look like the mycetic spore hit the ground and it's cracked open a little bit. That's going to be a little tricky. It's going to require some clever hot glue work. But the idea is you want to crack the egg open and kind of glue it in a little bit of a V shape. Like it's kind of busted open and now all the little tyrannids inside are kind of scurrying out. So bring over your hot glue gun. And what I'm going to do is put a little bit of hot glue along, I guess, whatever you designate as the very bottom of the egg. And then take the top half of the egg and kind of glue it down to that. But make sure you glue it in such that it still remains cracked open a little bit. This is definitely a little tricky. It's going to require you to hold the egg pieces in the right spot for probably a good 30 seconds. Now, this initial amount of hot glue doesn't have to be the sole, the securing of it. Once you get this thing down on the side of the crater, you can kind of glue it in the crater, use the edges of the extruded polystyrene and glue it further. This is really just a very simple initial way to get the hold in about the angle you want it to be. If you feel you need to, you can always add some more hot glue to make the joint even stronger. Now, I'm going to slide this whole thing out of the way. We're going to let it dry a little bit. Just one kind of artistic note. If you do layer on lots of hot glue and it's kind of very globbed on and nice big, and it's not, you know, very nice gluing, that's perfectly all right because it is a gigantic organic thing just crashed into the ground and split open. Ooze and slime is definitely going to be coming out of it. So you don't have to have a very nice glue joint. It can look very messy, very disgusting. The little strings of hot glue can be, you know, any sort of stuff that's coming out. So, artistic note, it does not have to be very clean or nice. Now, as I let that fully dry, we need to start working on what's going to become the crater. This is going to be a process very similar to what we just built for the Tyranid Spire. So, once again, like I said, that's the extruded polystyrene is for. The exact size of the crater is going to depend on, you know, how big your egg is. For me, my egg is probably, it's decent size, so I'm actually going to create a 8-inch by 8-inch piece of extruded polystyrene, and that's going to become the base of this thing. Ideally, however you're going to have the, basically your mycetic spore sit in the crater, you probably want at least 1.5 to 2 inches from the edge of it where it's sitting in the crater to the actual edge of the extruded polystyrene. So kind of do some quick addition there and figure out just how big you want to make your piece of extruded polystyrene, how big you want to make the crater. Now let's head over to the workshop, cut out this piece of extruded polystyrene and build it into a crater similar to how we did it for the Tyranid Spire that we just built. It's crater building time. Here's my piece of extruded polystyrene. Of course, mine was 6.5 inches by 6.5 inches. And of course, it's 1 inch deep. Here's the egg that I kind of glued in a bit of a V-shape there. It might be a little tricky to see since one half is transparent, but it's cracked open in a V-shape. The tools we're going to be using here are, one, we got a flathead screwdriver. Going to be jabbing through the extruded polystyrene a little bit. My hacksaw blade with tape on it. Not the best thing to use, but it's what I like to have. An actual, real, complete hacksaw. We're actually going to need a caulking gun and, obviously, therefore, some type of basic acrylic caulk or latex caulk. And an empty Warhammer 40,000 box. You don't actually have to be a Warhammer 40,000 box. It just needs cardboard. But that's what I got laying around here. And, of course, a Sharpie. And, finally, some white glue. And in terms of safety precautions, since you are going to be filing and kind of cutting and shaping extruded polystyrene, it's going to be kicking up a lot of nasty dust. You want yourself a dust mask. Just keep that stuff out of your lungs. First step is to kind of lay out where the hole is going to be in the crater, where the mycetic spore smashed down. So just kind of set the mycetic spore in the angle that you want it to be at, you know, in its final position here. And doing your best, take your Sharpie and kind of trace out in a pole that's approximately the right size for it. Something like that's probably pretty good like that for me. That can come around over here. There we go. Hold that up there. You can see I got the hole traced out. Now we want to go ahead and cut this hole out. So I'm just going to clamp it into a vise that I've got over here. Get my dust mask on. Take that flathead screwdriver. Pretty much just going to jab it through the middle somewhere. There we go. Like that. Now that's going to give an opening where I can start using my hacksaw blade to run through and cut the hole out. Now let's do a bit of a test fit to see how well it fits in the hole. That's pretty good. I think I might cut it out actually a little bit wider over here, because I do actually want it to be setting on the ground. So this side, we'll cut this side out just a little bit further as well. You can take it back out, we'll put it back in the vise, get your mask back on, expand the hole out, and we'll go from there. There you go, I like that pretty good. Now that's gonna sit in there, yeah. I like how it's gonna sit in there. So I'm happy with the way it is right now. Now, of course, this is a crater, so we've got to give it sloped edges. So the process we're going to do is very similar to how we did the crater for the Tyranid Spire. Of course, starting where with the hole that you cut out inside this thing, you're going to cut slopes which angle towards the edges of the extruded polystyrene. And, of course, you're going to angle them down. So the highest point of the crater is going to be the circumference of the hole that you cut out within the extruded polystyrene, and the lowest point is going to be the edges of the rectangle of the extruded polystyrene. That's a tough word to keep saying. Put it back in the vise. Go ahead, cut those slants out, and we'll come back in just a minute. There we go, it's looking pretty good. The next two steps, of course, eliminate the linear edges because this is a crater. You want a circular or kind of jagged edge on the outside, and you also want maybe not so nice sloping edges. It should be kind of a little rocky, a little broken up. Take some fine grit sandpaper, probably around 200 to 220 grit sandpaper, and just take it down and rough the sizes, and also take it around the edges to give the edges not so linear look. Break a few pieces off, make it look like it's kind of broken and chunky. Same kind of thing that you did building the Tyranid Spire just a few minutes ago. Where's my freaking sandpaper? There it is. There we go. Crater shape is done. It's looking pretty good. The next step is to actually give it a bottom and seal up the inside, because we're going to be pouring plaster in here around the Crash Mycet Explorer. That is where the Warhammer 40,000 box comes in, or pretty much any box for that matter. It's going to be the cardboard is going to be used to seal up the bottom of the crater. Taking some scissors, cut off one side of the box. Now place the crater down on the piece of cardboard you just cut out. Trace a circle around the inside just so you get an idea of the crater, like that. So trace a circle around the inside of the crater. Lift off the crater, and now trace another circle that's maybe a half an inch to 3/4 inch away from the inside circle, and then cut that out. So basically you're cutting out a giant circle of cardboard. Now, using some white glue, run a ring of white glue around in between the two lines that you drew on the cardboard. So therefore, the glue will pretty much be outside the inside ring of the crater, but it should still fall within the outside boundaries of the crater. Just kind of line up as best you can. Oopsie daisy, don't drop, don't do that. There we go, we press it down. And that's going to obviously glue the cardboard to the bottom of the crater. Now we're going to get out the caulking gun. And you want to run a line of caulk around the inside of the crater where it attaches to the cardboard. Obviously the point here is to seal it up a little bit. So when you actually go in and then basically start pouring in some plaster and things, it keeps the plaster, liquid plaster, from leaking out around the base of the crater. Thing up there, you see the ring of caulk in there, and it's kind of securing the cardboard to the extruded polystyrene. Of course, there's the cardboard backing on the extruded polystyrene. Now, let's set that one down. Let's go get some plaster ready and start getting this whole thing assembled the way you want it. Now it's time to finish up the main assembly of the Mycet Explorer. We've got the crater done right here, and of course, we've got the actual egg itself done, ready to go. I haven't let this dry a whole lot, but that shouldn't be a big issue. So just test fit the Mycet Explorer in the crater, however you want to do it, and just kind of mark off where it touches the crater. The reason is you're basically kind of getting an idea of where you're going to put the glue on the inside to glue this thing down to the crater. There we go. That looks pretty good. Take some white glue on those spots, and of course on the bottom of the crater itself. And honestly, you can kind of just layer this white glue on. There isn't any particular reason to be necessarily like conservative with it at all. Just because once again, you're going to have all sorts of nasty stuff come out of something like this. Oozes, slimes, and things. So you can have lots of crap running around. Just stick that in there. And now that'll begin the process of actually gluing it down. That's only one of the two adhesives we're using. The second one we're using is plaster. So we're going to a little bit of chunky plaster mix to kind of fill in some of the holes and also create the effect of slime oozing out over the crater and kind of coming out of the cracked open Mycet Explorer. A few notes about plaster. Of course, this comes in a very fine dust, the white powder dust. As a result, it can flap in the air. You want to get your dust mask on for this in just a moment. Follow the instructions of your particular brand of plaster you use as to how much water to plaster mix you want to do. So mix it up a little bit thick though. Fill in the sides here around the Mycet Explorer, a little bit in the Mycet Explorer itself, and then you want to spill some of it around the edges. So you want to actually make it like some spilling out, rolling down the sides of the crater. Like I said, that'll give the effect of slime bursting out of the Mycet Explorer. So let's go ahead and do that. Main construction construction of the Tyranid Mycetic Spore is done. You can see I've put a lot of plaster in there. Of course, some is oozing over the edge, making it look like slimes coming out of the crater. And if I could rotate this a little bit, you would see that there's some plaster inside the Mycetic Spore egg as well. I think it looks like there's still some goopy stuff still left in there. There's definitely some detail work and definitely some painting work to go. I'll run through that in just a little bit. Just to give you an idea from a few notes here, wait till the plaster completely dries before attempting to paint. And of course, as with anything that is made out of extruded polystyrene, you're not going to want to use primers or other kind of spray paints to paint it. So be sure to cover it up in a layer of gesso, either white or black, depending on, you know, what color you want to go with. I'm going to be using white. And then we'll show you how you can paint the ground around it, add some texturing, put those little flowers in, and of course make it look more like some kind of Tyranid-like organism here in just a moment. It's painting time for the Mycetic Spore, and I've already done two things here. First off, I gave it a base coat of white gesso, which is just to pretty much act as a primer so now I can paint all the various surfaces, and I let that dry. It took a few hours. I also went ahead and gave the plastic egg a nice even coat of red spray paint. I chose red primarily because I was showing my Trigon that got sitting over here. My color scheme for my Tyranid figures are green skin, red carapace. So I'm going to start here first with the actual carapace. The idea being the entire egg portion of the Mycetic Spore is pretty much armored carapace with maybe a few kind of soft spots in there, kind of veins you'll see me draw in a minute. So that's what I started with, just a base red color. And I'm going to take some of the actual GW paints that I've got laying around here, and we're going to dry brush some various highlights, some darker colors, some lighter colors on them to get a little bit of variation in the carapace of the Mycetic Spore. So starting with just some blood red, and like I said, I'm pretty much just going to sit here and dry brush some of it onto the carapace. First layer of the red paint is done on the carapace. Not a huge distinct change in color, but it gives it a little bit of texture. This time around, I'm going to take some more blood red, but mix in a little bit of chaos black and do the exact same thing. Now we're going to get a little bit more crazy. We're actually going to take a little bit of the blazing orange color from Games Workshop, mix that with some of the blood red, and we'll use that as a color to paint some more streaks and more texture details onto the thing. Don't spill it, don't spill it, don't spill it. So now to kind of dull some of the colors down and kind of merge some of the distinct color patterns I've got on the Mycetic Spore, I'm going to take a little bit of blood red, a little bit of chaos black, mix it together, and do a huge wash. So I guess also, in case you're not familiar with the painting terminology, a wash is a really thin paint. So you're going to take a lot of blood red, a tiny bit of chaos black to darken it down, and then we're going to mix it with a whole bunch of water and make it really, really thin and cover the entire armored carapace with it. Now, I'm going to let the wash on the Mycetic Spore's armored shell dry, and I started working on the crater around it. We pretty much got two things going on here. We've got the dirt or the rock that the Mycetic Spore smashed in, then we got the slime that's coming down on top of the rock. Obviously, you want to paint the rock or dirt, whatever is below it, some kind of earthy color or whatever, you know, whatever you kind of use for your battlefields. If you haven't, probably browns, if you use something that's kind of like an Earth-style planet, or get really crazy if you've got some exotic alien planet. It's obviously your choice. The reason you're going to do the dirt first is obviously it's kind of an idea of layers. The dirt is underneath the slime, so therefore, as you paint this up, if you kind of paint on some of the slime, it's not that big of a deal. You can paint over it later. For this paint, I'm not going to use any of the Games Workshop stuff just because it's such a large area to paint, and I'm probably going to cover a lot of it up with dirt and other flocking anyway. As a result, I'm just going to use some pretty standard brown poster paints. Now, once you feel like you've got a pretty good coverage in terms of like dirt and rock color around the crater, and the next thing you're going to do is start flocking in a little bit. Now, Decide what area is going to be covered in dirt, what area is going to be covered in grass, and take some white glue, apply the white glue to that section, and sprinkle the dirt or grass on accordingly. Just as one note, obviously you probably don't want to put any dirt or grass over the slime section. Alright, it's slime time. Take some green paint. I'm probably going to be using just some basic green washable paint for right now. I will highlight it with some of the GW stuff in a little bit. And paint all the areas that are slime. We're going to let that part sit for a little while. You know, at this point, don't worry if you get some slime color or some flocking on the actual shell itself. It's perfectly natural. It makes perfect sense because the thing kind of dug into the ground, burst open, stuff went flying everywhere. The next step we're going to start working on is actually giving the armored carapace a bit of a pattern. It's going to be kind of maybe a little hexagon, maybe pentagon-shaped pattern all across the carapace. And just kind of gives a little segmentation of the armored carapace, kind of like how you might see some of the Tyranids. So they have separate plates kind of piled on top of each other, those kind of things. It's also to give the effect that the carapace is actually not a super solid shell, but it's more of like a collection of interlocking, somewhat flexible armored pieces. So this is the way to think about it. So I'm going to go ahead, just using a small detailed brush, we're going to take Dark Angel Green and draw out some little patterns, and we'll probably highlight it using, I believe, it's Rotten Flesh, and maybe play some dark green ink, something like that. Okay, the armor carapace has come along pretty well now. Traced out a bunch of little hexagon lines, gave it some little highlights with the rotting flesh color by Games Workshop. The whole process has come along pretty good at this point. There isn't a whole lot more I can do. I'll probably go over some more slime painting a little bit and then add some more highlights to that just to kind of make that stand out a little bit better. You can always experiment too in this case. I've tried it in the past on the old ones. Let me grab this guy over here. This was one of the prototypes from last week. You can see I've got like pipe cleaners, views as tentacles. That's something you could possibly try out. I actually got beads from Mardi Gras, basically. Mardi Gras beads that are kind of stuck in the plaster. The idea of that being they would be little bubbles of slime. I don't really know how well that would turn out eventually, but that is an idea. And of course, the last one we've got over here is those plastic flowers that I purchased for this project. And what I'm going to do is take some scissors and just cut off a few of those. Now to insert them into the crater area around like the slime and stuff, what you're going to do is take a nail and poke a hole in the extruded polystyrene. There we go. Take some white glue. Just kind of stick it off to the side in a tray or something like that. And dip the stems of the flowers in some white glue just so they're kind of covered a little bit. And stick them down in that hole you punched with a knife. And that'll kind of hold them in the spot pretty well securely. I'm assuming once they dry. Now, for all intents and purposes, I could go ahead and do some more detail work and kind of show some more fast motion video of me highlighting the slime and things like that, but the reality is this project is effectively done. Hopefully you enjoyed these two short build tutorials on how to do the Tyranid Spire and, of course, the Mycet Explore. We're definitely going to be having a lot more Tyranid content coming up here in the tabletop battlefield. I've actually just started playing a Warhammer 40,000 campaign. Of course, I'm playing with my Tau Forest Tigers. And the way the campaign map is set up, my main enemy will probably be the Tyranids. So over the next couple weeks, I'll probably get a lot of fights in with them. And hopefully by the time that's all said and done with, I'll be pretty good at knowing how to fight them. The first battle, I actually lost for a couple reasons. Had a few unlucky shots. Probably could have built my army better to get more firepower against how my opponent stylizes his Tyranid force. And of course, I was outnumbered 1,200 points to 1,000 because it's the way the rules of the campaign worked. I kind of walked into a bad tactical situation because I got screwed over. by bad dice rolling. But enough excuses. By the time I'm done with this, I should be pretty good at fighting the Tyranids. Other things you might want to check out if you like the Tyranids. Someone created a Hitler video about Hitler learning about the Doom of Malachi and relates to his Eldar forces. If you know what I'm talking about, then it's basically a common little scene from some old World War II movie that basically people dub over what Hitler's saying. It's always pretty funny. This one, like I said, is about the new Tyranid, specifically the Doom of Malachi. And it's definitely entertaining to watch if you know 40K and enjoy that kind of stuff. Also, a few notes here. If you go ahead and do a build either one of these models, always go ahead and post them on the Army Showcase over at tabletopbattlefield.com. We actually have a template that is designed to show off a single model. You type a little bit about it, show some pictures of it, that kind of thing, and it works pretty good. So with that, as for this show, I guess, our goal next episode is to do the full review of Grind by Privateer Press, which, of course, is their, as they call it, Full Metal Death Board. It's kind of their standalone Warjack-themed battle game. So like I said, that's next episode. Myself, Ryan, Kyle, and maybe someone else will be joining us for that review. So with that, that's pretty much all I got for you. Questions or comments, send them to me at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And of course, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. So once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.